It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Can I get some high fives for that today? Because we know that living our powerful truth is what it's all about. We can't go through life being inauthentic. And I want to just say I love you, my Closet Busters. I'm always so glad when you're here on the Coming Out Lounge with me. Now, today I have to tell you, we're going to be talking about gay men mostly, but I want everyone to realize that there's a lot of wisdom that's about to come through what my guest is going to share with you. His name is Raymond Rigoloso, and he is the founder of Gay Men of Wisdom, and he just recently put together a beautiful, powerful book, and it's The New Way Forward for Gay Men. And I have to tell you, I've been looking at this book, I've been looking at some of the content in it, I've been on his webpage studying some of this stuff. And if you're a gay man, and even if you're not, there's some very powerful tools and gifts and things that you can take away from this discussion today. In fact, one of the things that Ray noticed was, you know, when Pope Francis proposed that gay people have gifts and qualities to offer, he really kind of picked up with that and ran with it in this new book. And then, of course, when Apple CEO Tim Cook came out in 2014 and stated that being gay is among one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given him, I think a lot of us in the gay and lesbian world started to realize we're not everything that everybody would like to make us out to be. So with that being said, I would really like to welcome my guest, Raymond, to the show so we can talk about his beautiful book, Gay Men and the New Way Forward. Welcome, Raymond.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So we've been kind of Facebook friends and internet friends for a couple of years here, kind of following each other around. And I'm so glad we have this opportunity because I think this is a very valuable conversation right now to be having, not only in our own LGBT world, but also with the world at large. So let's kind of start with what really got you going. What was the thing that really inspired you to go write this book?
Well, it was a slow build for me. I've been running Gay Men of Wisdom, this project, for the last several years, beginning in 2012. And through weekend programs and discussion groups, I was working with gay men to understand what kind of impact do they have on those people around them simply by being themselves as openly gay men. And so what I started doing was gathering information from the gay spirituality literature and inviting men in my groups to explore, well, which of these ideas apply to them and to what extent. Right. Sort of taking the ideas more generically and then funneling them down to the specific. So each man would leave with some type of knowledge, some type of insight about himself. And what I found was that there are so many brilliant and beautiful ideas out there in the literature, but there was no satisfying framework that I could use that would capture the sum total of gay men's gifts. And I used different frameworks, and I found myself a little frustrated, and I think so did men in my groups. So what I realized is that it was time to synthesize and create this type of framework so that gay men could really see how they are gifted. We have these wonderful abstract ideas, but let's get really specific. So So that's what inspired me to write this book.
Well, I think this is really important to bring forward, because it's a lot of the, you and I are both coaches, we do a lot of work in this, but one of the things I always tell my clients is, especially clients coming out, you need to get very specific about why this is important to you. You know,
yes.
And the same thing in what you're talking about is getting really specific about the gifts that we bring to the world. And it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight or bisexual, lesbian, whatever it may be. But I love that you're putting this framework together about the gifts we as gay men contribute to the world. When we can get really specific about it, a couple of things that I know as I listened to you say that started coming through my mind was, as soon as we can be specific about our gifts, there's a whole lot more room for a lot of self-love and self-care that shows up. And I think that's kind of part of what you put together in this concept, correct?
Oh, absolutely. This is really loving all of who we are as gay men.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking sexuality as simply a part of, an integral and an important part of, but extending this beyond and saying, this is the sum totality of what the group of gay men does for humanity. These are things, these are social roles that we play. So when we embrace and understand those ways that we contribute to the vitality of the human family, we definitely grow in self-love. We are changed people. So it's another coming out, and it's something I propose in the book, which is the new gay hero's journey,
right,
which is establishing coming out as the midpoint of our journey.
And you know, I love this piece you just brought up about vitality of the human family. I mean, this is like, you know, the fabric of life sort of conversation. When we can really wrap our hands around this gift that we are, and that we do play a very vital role in the human framework, in the human family framework, it begins to heal some of those open wounds that we've sustained through our coming out process or pre-coming out process, post-coming out process. And because you said it does become the new gay way, and coming out is only a midpoint. There's a whole nother journey that begins to take place once we're on the other side of those closet doors. So as you've worked with gay men, what do you think it is that makes them really struggle with this ability to see their deeper, beautiful gifts that they bring to society?
It's interesting because someone commented on some of the questions posed in my reading where I had my book opening in New York a week and a half ago, where he said, I heard resistance among some of the questions as if this were too good to be true. That there's this idea that we are so deeply flawed that has sunk into the psyches and the spirit of even the most out and proud gay men, that there's this part of us that doesn't believe we have a place in the human family, that we don't do something unique and distinct. So it's really a whole consciousness raising and a consciousness expanding that we actually play certain roles, that and that we are very much, as you point out, integral to the human family. We need each other. The world needs us and we need them, but we do something really special. So that idea of being special, I think people get hung up on, because there's also this question of, well, are you saying that we are better?
Right.
And of course, when we have two things that are different, they're just different. One is not better or worse. So there's a whole bunch of internalized lack of love, even if it's not homophobia, that we come into this, that we learn by being gay men. So this is all about saying, hey, wait a second, we're really important, and we play some pretty important roles.
Well, I love this piece you just said that kind of just slid through there. I want to make sure everybody really got this, that when we say we are different, there is no right or wrong. It's just that we're different. And I think in the fabric of society, we miss this piece, that the difference in the diversity, whether it's gay, straight, you know, based on race or anything, the difference is what is just a beautiful piece of how the planet rolls and how we show up in the world. So I see that as one of those very beautiful tweetable moments where, you know, the thing about being different is we're just different. It doesn't make us right, wrong, good, or bad. And as we look at those sort of things, I think where the wounding for so many in our LGBT world, and Yes, I'm going to kind of put gay men up on a different pedestal, so to speak. I think gay men tend to get wounded at a deeper level, A, because we're men. Our masculinity becomes wounded by this journey we take. And I know for lesbians it's similar, but I don't know, just I guess because I'm a gay man, maybe that's the reason, I feel this wounding at a really, really deep level. But I think what you're advocating is we can get past this wounding and really hold our gifts as the thing that starts to bring the healing back and to make us more viable in society. So what would some of those gifts and qualities be that you would, you know, really pull out and say that gay men have to contribute to society?
Sure. Well, the book Gay Men and the New Way Forward is structured around 14 distinct gifts that gay men give to the human family. And I've organized them in three different areas or circles. Mm-hmm. The first circle is serving and healing humanity. The second is reinventing manhood. And the third is freeing and enriching the human spirit.
I think these are all really powerful, Raymond, so I want to make sure people really get them. So the first one is serving and healing humanity. Mm-hmm. The second one is reinventing manhood. And the third one is freeing and enriching the human spirit. So I know you've got several constructs under each of these that we're going to talk about today. And, man, I wish we had like a whole hour to break this down, but let's just see what we can break down. So why don't you go ahead and just start with, let's talk about serving and healing humanity. What's within
sure.
there?
Sure. The first gift that I discuss in this area is what I call a gentle, collaborative, social orientation. And I want to make the distinction between sexual and social orientation, because social orientation implies that we actually do something other than have a different sexuality. And we can begin to see gay men's different social orientation before sexuality emerges. This is something we can observe in childhood, that there's a different way that gay boys play. There's a tendency toward greater empathy and gentleness and collaboration and cooperation, and also this gravitating toward play that is associated more with girls. Mm-hmm. And when it is gender typical play, that play tends to be more gentle and thoughtful. Now, this is a generalization, but it describes so many gay men's boyhoods that I include this here.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I took away, and it actually is one of the, you know, real guideposts in this area, is we as gay men, because of this gentleness and because of this social orientation, we tend to be really of service, which actually is one of the components of this area.
Yes.
We want to be of service to others. And I know that sounds to some like, really? Well, doesn't everybody? Well, yes. But there's a piece of this that we come into this world being of service in a different way, almost like we're the balance. We're the balance between the sexual orientations. So what else do you have under the serving and healing that listeners would probably be really interested in, Raymond?
Well, this second gift is an orientation towards service, as you point out. This gentle, collaborative, social orientation primes gay men for service. And we see this show up again and again with so many gay men in service-oriented fields. Right. And also providing the listening ear, the empathy, the working more collaboratively with others, even when their profession doesn't specifically call for it. So this is not like a Myers-Briggs test of career choices.
Right.
This is about who are we as an essence, that there is something about the gay spirit, about the gay man's drive to be of service. You see us in so many of the healing professions and disproportionately represented among the clergy, among mm-hmm. the healers, the therapists, especially the coaches, the massage therapists, and on and on. And you also see us as masters in the service industry. When you look at industries like, what are those, when you're on the airplane, what am I?
Flight
attendants, event organizers. I mean, who gives the most spectacular, beautiful events but mm-hmm. gay men? Mm-hmm. So it's balancing this masculine and feminine, and I want to talk about that foundational gift in a moment of masculine feminine intelligence, where in this gift of being of service, we harness both the masculine and feminine in equal balance and beautifully.
Well, I think what you're bringing up is something that somebody could take and run with right now. Oh, you're just being very stereotypical about what gay men are. I would argue that that's not what you're bringing up. What you're bringing up is there's a beautiful space that we can gravitate to because of who we are and how we come in to serve in this world. And it just so happens to be that this is where we end up being in so many different careers and pathways that get taken. And I think you could actually stand back and argue this on other cultures and other people within the fabric of our lives. When you start to take away, okay, who is everybody and where they fit? Actually, everybody kind of fits somewhere. It doesn't really necessarily mean just because you're gay or lesbian or bisexual, but especially when you start to look at, wow, there tends to be a lot of people whose personalities are like this and they end up showing up in these particular places. So the other piece of this one triad circle that I would like to really bring up is the one that I think is really big, which is the models of forgiveness. I mean, because we go through so much and we learn to have to not only forgive ourselves and step into a beautiful, powerful space of being with ourselves, being able to start to forgive those who say, oh, you're not worthy, you're not good enough because you're a gay man. That's another biggie for me. If, you know, when you and I did the pre-show, I said, I have my favorites, and models of forgiveness was a huge one. So why don't you talk a little bit about this teachers and compassion and all that sort of stuff within this construct as well?
Sure. And if we talk about models of forgiveness, what is amazing is gay men's ability to and desire to forgive those who have grievously hurt us, our families where we have probably received often the greatest wounding. Mm-hmm. There is a desire to forgive. And it's something we rarely talk about. And when I write in the book, I ask gay men to consider, who do they know in their lives who has not forgiven those who have hurt them? When we think about, well, how prevalent is this forgiveness? Well, how prevalent is the grudge? How many gay men have not forgiven their family? And some of us have not, okay? Yeah. We're not perfect with this, but we tend to see this over and over again. One thing I want to emphasize about this entire framework of these 14 gifts is that this framework describes gay men as a group. And in it, I invite gay men to ask themselves, which of these gifts do I manifest and to what extent? So that's why I created that self-assessment. It's the 14 gay male, distinct gay male gifts assessment. Yep. It's available free of charge at gaymenofwisdom.com.
And I love this because this is the basis. This is the things, you know, people are always looking for something, you know, I've got some assessments I do, but in this particular genre of what you're sharing, Raymond, I think it's really important to say, where do I fit?
Yes.
What are my gifts? Because as soon as we can identify our gifts, we begin to really grow through this and we can embrace these pieces, you know, like the next place that, you know, you talk about things is reinventing manhood. So how does that begin to become a part of a gift that we give back to the world, this reinventing manhood concept?
Well, it begins with the foundational gift of masculine feminine intelligence, mm-hmm. which is that gay men as a whole tend to possess masculine and feminine in balance. And we see this show up from a very early age. We often see it as the presence of feminine, but we're not really conscious of the fact that there's the masculine and feminine in balance, because in our society's definition of manhood, manhood means being masculine only. Mm-hmm. Gay men have a different energy. We have that balance of masculine and feminine, and we use each. We go in and out of each as the need calls for. So we show up differently. We model a different way of being men because we express the entire range of human expression, to be redundant a little bit, that is half of, and when you look at what society tells men, half of human expression is off limits. When you look at how we define masculine and how we define feminine, you're only supposed to be masculine. But in this world today, we need men who can be both masculine and feminine. Straight women want their men to be strong providers and empathetic. They want them to be caring and also decisive. So there's a...
This is a huge piece because this is where you bring the sexual orientation pieces together with the heterosexual women wanting this from men and then gay men bringing this into the world in the way that we do. But even within our own gay culture, it's an interesting dilemma at times because so many gay men are like, I need to be more masculine. And other men are like, I love being completely feminine. And then they battle those pieces. And what you're advocating is... this is a balance. We bring this balance. And I think I'm observing in the heterosexual world to some degree, because I have quite a few heterosexual clients, that there's a beginning to be a little bit of a break in the masculine outer exterior with my straight men. They're starting to realize, man, things could be a lot easier if I just started to let that femininity that does exist within us to come forward at times, because this is where things begin to shift. But by allowing gay men to be this gift, we bring this gift to the world. And some guys listening to this may go, that's not me. Okay, that may not seem to be you, but there's a piece of you that has more feminine energy than the average heterosexual guy. I think that's what you're basically saying, right?
Absolutely. Like when you think about sort of your stereotypical group of gay men and in one room, and let's just imagine in that other room you have a group of construction workers and athletes and members of the military and people from Wall Street, right? Yeah. You're going to imagine very different energies in those two different rooms. So as gay men, we tend to have as a whole more feminine energy than heterosexual men. And so we manifest certain traits a little bit differently. So we're assertive a little bit differently, right? We compete differently. So I've constructed this model, this three-dimensional masculine-feminine model that looks at masculinity and femininity as personality traits, as energy, and also our external traits. It's actually a very rich array of energies and traits that we pick up on in an instant. But we tend to show up differently with a different energy. That allows us, we wind up teaching. You talk about your clients, your heterosexual male clients. Gay men model this balanced form of manhood, and we are giving permission to all men to embrace their feminine sides. And at times, there might be the moment for us to fully embrace our feminine.
Well, and I think what you're leading to here is exactly the third circle. It's how we begin to show the freeing and the enriching of the human spirit, you know, how we model this for others. And one of the things that came up in the third circle for me, which is one of the 14 gifts, is our ability to model being authentic and courageous and helping show that there are ways to cleanse this thing we call shame. So why don't we jump into that? Because I think the freeing and the enriching of the human spirit is like, we can't have this discussion without going there. So within that realm, what is the big stuff that we really would like to share with the listeners about how they embrace this gift?
Well, when we come out, we model authenticity and courage. It begins by just taking that risk and saying, this is who I am, as this is my sexual orientation. And when we fully integrate that, as I'm sure you understand and you do this work with your clients, we show up differently everywhere in our lives. We become more authentic and courageous in all areas because this is when we come out, that's our gateway to our personal power.
Right. And this is key. This is key. What Ray just said, I want everybody to really get this. When you come out, you model this courage and authentic power to other people. And oftentimes when we do this, the people who cannot accept us cannot see us. And I realize there's religious beliefs and all that going on too. But when people can't really wrap their head around our sexuality, it is because we're modeling courage and authenticity and they don't know how to accept that in themselves. It really has nothing to do with us. It's they're seeing something in the mirror that says, how come are they able to do this and I can't? Even though consciously that may not be the thought they're having. Subconsciously, that's usually what's occurring. Right?
Yes. And it completely changes consciousness. As men in my groups have said, coming out sets off a million transformations. Yeah. It changes people around us on a very subtle but profound level. Now, we also pay a price for this. And in doing so, we cleanse a lot of shame for humanity. When I look at one of the functions of gay men is we undo and cleanse and get rid of that shame that patriarchy teaches all of us. So we are models for how to rid our lives of shame. So we stand as this model that people, some people can't understand because they might be constricted by their traditions or their narrow definitions of what it means to be human. We expand that.
Right. But what I want to make sure we clearly communicate here, it's not just people outside our own circles. It's us ourselves that if you're struggling with this piece of coming out and shame, this is where the real work starts, is wrapping yourself in this beautiful arms of love and self-care and realizing the only way to get past shame is for you to get past shame. And once you can get past it, it doesn't matter how much somebody else tries to pour it on you. When you can hold shame in its place and say, you're no longer part of my being, you're no longer part of where I'm supposed to be going, that's when the real healing begins. Doesn't mean it's going to get any easier when people lob it at you, but you have to like grab this and own it yourself that I no longer have to feel shame. And I think lovingly in our gay community, our gay brothers, this is something that a lot of them struggle with, is they still can't get past the shame of who they are.
Yes, and it's very insidious. It's wily, as I like to call it, because it manifests as our own voice. It's really someone else's agenda that we have internalized very deeply, and it parades as our own voice. So undoing shame can be a long-term process, but this is one of those things. It's like we clear it out for humanity. And I want to talk about sexual leadership for
absolutely
just a
I was just going to go there.
Yeah,
I was looking at this going, wait, we got to address this one because this is a biggie here, so let's go for it.
Yeah, this is, you know, we all know that gay men are, I mean, we came out and created an identity based on our sexuality, being free sexually. So I wanted to understand, what does that do? I wanted to take the next step and ask, what are the implications of men who have sex for pleasure, who have said to themselves, shame has no place in my sex life, external control has no place, we approach each other as equals. So what I discovered in thinking about this is that our sexuality, our unique way of cruising each other, of our intense male on male sexuality, creates these creative sparks that fuels many of the cultural contributions that we make. So when you think about what do gay men give birth to, we don't actually have children. Some of us do, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't physically have children. But we give birth to an incredible amount of culture and creativity, and our sexuality, our unique way of expressing our sexuality, contributes to the cultural vitality of the human family. So this is something that we wrestle in shame with, many of us, because of our religious backgrounds and societal messages. But this actually does something critical that allows us to show up as vital creative contributors that society benefits from, yet they scorn the creativity, the sexuality that drives these contributions.
But here's what's interesting, Raymond, I'm so glad you brought this up, is 50 Shades of Grey just came out. And when that came out in the movie theaters, I remember the backlash started. And I actually read one article where a psychologist really was bashing the movie and saying, this, all it does is advocate, you know, shame. All it advocates is, you know, physical abuse. And I really wanted to get on my soapbox and write a HuffPost article. And then I got busy and I couldn't. But where I'm going with this is just another piece of dealing with shame. If someone enjoys that sort of sexual pleasure, okay? Mm-hmm. So if they're into BDSM, if that's what they enjoy and this is just part of the fabric of how they are in relationships, who is anyone to say this isn't right? You know,
right.
And I think we as gay men and as a gay culture have pretty much put that out in front of everyone saying, who are you to judge me for what brings me happiness, joy, pleasure, love in these ways? You know,
yes.
And unfortunately, as a society and as a human race, we love to get hung up on each other's sexual activities because it's just something we get really hung up on and we can feed upon, and, you know, it satisfies some weird urges within all of us. But I think what you're getting at in this conversation is we do take a sexual leadership role by being who we are, and it is a gift to the world.
Yes, and one of the core messages of Gay Men and the New Way Forward is that this, our sexual expression translates into social innovation. Mm-hmm. There's a chart. I realized as I was looking at the list of traits, I asked men in my groups, well, how is gay men's sexual expression unique? And I took notes in all of my groups. Yeah. And there's so much that we do that's different and unique. And I realized in looking at that long list of notes is that there is a corresponding social innovation for every sexual innovation that we create. So BDSM is going to correspond with some type of social innovation. It allows us to explore and express something different. So in addition to experiencing sex for pleasure and its inherent intensity and all of that, it also allows us to express something more in the world.
Right.
So I really want to drive that point home. There's this
very
chart.
Good point. It's so powerful because when you can link those two things together, you know, it kind of starts to take away everything everybody stands on to say, let's tear you guys down. And I think if we look at sex from the perspective of it's individual, it's personal, it's part and parcel of the personality of the person, then it becomes no different than the color of your skin, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair. It becomes this fabric of who we are. So in the last couple of minutes that we have, I can't believe we're like flying through this. These shows go so quickly. But, you know, we've talked a lot about gay men and coming out and all this. So for someone who is coming out, I'd love to have you just share what you believe they can see as their gift for coming out of the closet. What is their gift they're giving to the world by taking this forward and saying, this is me, this is who I am?
It's really going through a death and rebirth process. And on the other end of that process, you become a fully formed adult. You express your authentic self. We hide ourselves out of fear. We keep ourselves closed because of all the societal messages we receive and the genuine risk that we face in coming out. There's always risk involved in this. But on the other side of this, you become who you are. You are able then to express all of your gifts. The gift that you give to the world is authenticity and courage and truth and your power and your talents as a gay man. There's something different you're going to do. And I have this at the beginning of the book, this coming out continuum, that when you come out, you can really express your distinct, these 14 distinct gay male gifts are going to show up so much more powerfully when you own and honor your own sexuality. And that's really just the beginning of you. As I say, it's the gateway to your personal power.
Absolutely. And man, I wish we had a whole nother hour to work with this, but we don't. We're going down on time here. So real quick, Ray, where can people learn more about you?
GayMenOfWisdom.com.
Excellent.
That's the website.
Yep.
There are free resources there. And the book is called Gay Men and the New Way Forward. It's available online and at select independent bookstores.
Great. And if you're a Twitter person, you can catch Ray at Ray_Rigoglioso, and I'll let him spell that for you. I'll do it. RIGOGLIOSO. And he also has a Facebook page, facebook.com, Gay Men of Wisdom. So you can connect up with him there. Ray, I want to say thank you so much for being here with me today. I just can't say enough about the beautiful message you're sending out here with your book and your teachings and the way you're guiding our community forward.
Thank you, Rick. And this has been enjoyable, completely enjoyable. Thanks
great,
for having
great. Me. Absolutely. So, listeners, in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing some more talking. We're going to have some dating coaches on. We are going to be looking at gay marriage and does that fit for you? Does that not fit for you? I'm going to have some people talking about the artistic coming out and how coming out is really an artistic expression of who you are. So once again, if you really love the Coming Out Lounge and you think I'm a pretty cool guy, go on over to iTunes and give us some love and a rating and review. And while you're at it, you know what? As I always say, you can always Facebook us, find me at The Coming Out Coach. You can go over and do me some tweet love at Rick Clemens and use the hashtag for the show Coming Out Lounge, pound Coming Out Lounge. And you know what? If you're really struggling with this coming out thing and you're not quite ready to work with someone one-on-one, go on over to my website, rickclemons.com, C-L-E-M-O-N-S.com. Go to the shop and you'll find a Coming Out My Way self-guided program that maybe that's just the thing that you need for you right now, where you are in your coming out journey. And as always, what I want to say is never stop being you, because when you stop being you, you're being somebody else that you're not supposed to be. And with that, I'm going to say see you next week, see you next time, and remember to always live your truth and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth each and every day. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today with The Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for The Coming Out Lounge.